This is Morning Edition from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Rick Gamley, and it is Friday, hence Ask Sam.
Why do geese make feet?
Does a bumblebee sneeze?
Can a person eat trees?
Can a polar bear freeze?
Is a kidney stone kind of like a pearl in a clam?
Well, I don't know. Ask Sam.
What do we got today, Sam?
This one actually comes to us from Flagstaff, Arizona, but I felt it was relevant, so here comes.
Hi, my name's Nick, and I'm wondering, how do they decide where to put moose crossing signs? Is there any science behind it, and did they do any good? Thanks.
Moose crossing signs. Yeah, that's something you see in, obviously, not just New Hampshire, but around the country.
Well, of course, you would think that this is, you know, of course, a rigorous, logical, science-based process.
No, I didn't think that at all.
Mustering
actually.
Data, yeah. Not at all random or arbitrary, say, for instance, prompted by random citizen complaints.
The crashes will typically prompt citizen requests, and that's when we start coordinating with Fish and Game to confirm whether there is a population or a natural crossing in a particular area.
Okay, so that was Bill Lambert, state traffic engineer with the New Hampshire Department of Transportation.
Uh-huh.
The process is basically this. You have a crash or a couple of crashes. Somebody at the local level, police officer, town official, or just, you know, Joe car driver, can request that we put up a deer crossing sign. DOT gives Fish and Game a call, and they say, hey, Fish and Game, are there actually deer here, or are there actually moose here, or was this just some sort of fluke? And that question typically lands on Kent Gustafson's desk, he's the wildlife program supervisor at Fish and Game.
But usually there are certain habitat parameters that kind of funnel the animals to certain locations, and typically that may be where the most accidents occur, so that would be the likely spot where they'd be likely to put up a road sign.
So, Sam, that just means that, you know, the infrastructure, the roadway is going through an environment, obviously, where there would be a lot of deer or moose or what have you, and it makes sense to have the sign there.
Right. If a road goes right down the middle of two big swatches of great deer or moose habitat, there are going to be more crashes on that stretch of road.
Yeah, sure.
And also, of course, if there's like a ridge or a gully or a river or something that animals like to walk along, that's going to funnel them towards a certain spot. So it's not totally arbitrary. But there actually is a better example than deer crossing signs or moose crossing signs of where science has been put into play. There are a couple towns here in New Hampshire that have put up turtle crossing signs.
I've seen them.
Yeah, when these are for these rare species of turtles. We have Blanding's turtles, wood turtles, spotted turtles. All of them have pretty low population numbers, and everyone that gets hit by a car is you know, bad for the population. Those are put up thanks to the work of Mike Marchand, who heads up the Fish and Game's non-game programs. And because these turtles are rare, you have to do more than just look at the landscape to figure out if there are some or not.
We know it because we've tracked turtles through that location and have telemetry information, or we kind of have a combination of that information. We know the animals are there, and we know the suitable habitat on both sides.
Turtle telemetry.
Turtle telemetry.
Turtles with GPSs affixed to their shells.
They're more high-tech than I am at this point.
So indeed, like, there's some real science going on here for some of these signs, but often for deer signs, it is just driven by complaints by drivers.
All right, Sam, what about Nick's second question there? You know, are these signs effective?
Well, that is indeed the question, especially because these signs go up, but they never come down. Bill Lambert from DOT told me basically they put a sign up, they never reevaluate if it should be there years down the line, and they put up two or three a year, so at some point they're just going to be
every neighborhood,
absolutely everywhere. But here's what he's told me about the research.
They're not very effective at modifying driver behavior.
Hmm.
Or animal mortality.
So have you considered possibly putting a sign in the woods for the moose to let them know that there are cars ahead?
We have not.
So they don't actually really work.
Sam, let's keep the comedy one way here. I have seen people actually stop near a turtle crossing sign when they've seen a turtle.
So turtle crossing signs are actually slightly different because
really?
They're seasonal.
I haven't noticed that.
So if it's something that you don't see every day, and then all of a sudden in the spring you see it, you're more likely to pay a little bit of attention to it. But if you drive by it every day and there's never a moose, you know, chances are you're just going to start ignoring that sign.
And that's just part of human nature, I guess. You start kind of tuning out things you see normally every day.
We are quite dumb.
Well, Sam, as always, I feel a little better informed about something that I never, ever gave a second thought about, thanks to Ask Sam.
Thanks for having me on, Rick.
NHPR's Sam Evans-Brown loves to answer questions about the natural world. If you'd like to get in on the action and get your question answered, how do they do it?
Call 1-844-GO-OTTER or send us a voice memo via your smartphone to outsidein@nhpr.org.
This is Morning Edition from New Hampshire Public Radio.